You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Bobby Beavers, Gareth Topham and Andrew Martin in the studio. Good day racing as well. We've got a decent card at Ascot, including listed racing, some good handicaps on there as well. We've got Fontwell and Hexham alongside that, so a bit of jumping as well. And Wolverhampton and Dundalk throughout the evening, so something for everybody. Let's get stuck into it. My name is Mark Walton, joined in the studio by Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
All is well, Mark, all is well. Looking forward to a good weekend's action.
Yes, very big weekend in France, so we're going to talk about that to start
France?
With. Yes.
What's happening in France, Mark?
What's happening in France? Just the richest race in Europe, the Prix de l'Arc, the Triumph, where we have Enable, of course, trying to defend her crown. Bit of news today, obviously, the draw has been confirmed, as we recall this, on Thursday. And the final field of 19 has been confirmed as well. No Cracksman in the lineup there. He's going to head to Ascot instead. And in terms of the draw, we'll let you talk about it in a little bit more detail, Craig. But basically, on good ground or soft ground, you want to be low.
Yeah, indeed, Mark. When you look back through previous winners, when conditions certainly haven't been extremely testing, a low draw has been of great benefit. Of course, Golden Horn defied a double-figure stall in stall 14 when he won the 2015 renewal. Obviously, you've got to ignore the last two because they was run at a different track.
Yeah.
Trev won from stall 15 back in 2013. Again, that was, you know, extremely testing conditions that day, which helped. You know, some placed horses have run well from high-figure stalls, but on the whole, you know, if you're looking at a positive and a negative, single figure draws is a huge positive over double figure and horses drawn wider.
I've got some pretty key stats courtesy of the Racing Post. These are the stats for the last 20 arcs run at Longchamp. 13 of the last 20 arcs were run on good to soft ground. Good or good to soft ground. 11 of those 13 winners came from stalls 1 to 6. Sindar won from stalls 7. Golden Horn is the only arc winner at Longchamp in 20 years to have won from a wide draw when he was drawn 14, as you mentioned. That was, well, the only one on good or good to soft ground. And of the 39 horses to finish in the first three at Longchamp in those 13 good ground arcs, only 8 were drawn stall 10 or higher. So on decent ground, you need to be single figure draws. And that's what Enable's got, drawn in 6. So you can see why Connections will be happy. She's 10 to 11 at the top of the market. If she brings her best form from that draw, she's probably the rightful favourite. Well, she's definitely the rightful favourite.
Looking at the draw and looking at the stats and attaching, you know, the prices now compared to the extra data we have, Mark, you've got to think 10 to 11 might well shorten between now and Sunday, because the second Sea of Class, the third in the market and the fourth in the market are drawn in stalls 15, 13 and 14. So, you know, people may latch on to that. We've all, you know, this market, since we've had news of the draws, only what, a couple of hours old. So I think we could well see some support for Enable. And, you know, I was thinking she may go off odds against earlier in the week, but given the draw now and how it's worked out, no Cracksman either, there's every chance Enable could go off maybe 8 to 11, 4 to 5 on the day.
Yeah, won't be surprised at all. As you mentioned there, Sea of Class drawn poorly, Voltgeist drawn poorly, Kew Gardens drawn poorly. I suppose Capri at 25 to 1 could be of interest, given that he's in stall 6.
4.
4, sorry, yes. Knew it was low. Enables in 6.
Yeah.
The sharing a stall. John in stall 4, sorry, yeah. You know, he's an Irish Derby winner last year, won the William Hill St. Ledger as well. He's got a bit of class about him, and 25 to 1 could be a nice each-way price.
Indeed, yeah. Definitely, certainly wouldn't put anybody off at that price. Only beat one home last year. That was soft ground and a totally different track.
Yeah.
Four-year-old now, hasn't had a busy campaign. Only the two starts, Mark, was disappointing when last seen. here at Longchamp in September. Obviously needs to take a step forward, but you certainly wouldn't rule one of Aidan's out, considering the weekend he had last weekend.
Yeah, he's doing all right, isn't he, Aidan O'Brien, again. So that's to look forward to on Sunday. You'll be able to hear all of the action at the at Longchamp for the Prix de l'Arc, the Triumph on William Hill Radio as well, so do tune in for that. So we're going to turn our attention to matters a little closer to hand, though, Greg. We've got some good racing at Ascot coming up this Friday, and you've picked out two races for us. The 225 is the first of those. It's a classified stakes over a mile. We've got a field of 11 set to go to post for this one. What's got your eye in there?
Well, Mark, the classified race band here is 0-90. And I was having a look through previous renewals, and the lowest rated horse, what we had 7 previous renewals of this race, and the lowest rated winner was a horse rated 87. Because I was first drawn to the chances of Ensemble of James Fanshawe's, a horse that's moved from the Ellsworth yard, and he's only rated 82. You know, so I was thinking, you know, that they're obviously going to blow what looks a really good handicap mark here. Having looked through previous renewals, seen that the lowest rated horse was 87, I then went back and seen how many horses rated 82 have actually tried to win this race, given, you know, there's every chance they can be up to £8 wrong at the weights. There's only been 2, and they were both in last year's renewal that was rated 82 or less. One was 33-1, the other was 66-1. 66. So, you know, the data from that isn't worth really taken into consideration here. I was really impressed with the way this horse went about it at Sandown last time. Set a really strong pace, was keen from a high draw, kicked for home some way out, and was caught by 2 progressive types. Finished a very respectable third with a decent gap back to the fourth. And off the same mark of 82, I thought they would have found a decent handicap for him. But given he's £8 wrong at the weights, and there is going to be competition for the lead here, the likes of Blue Mist will take him on early. Ortiz of Henry Candies, who did run really well over this course and distance 2 starts back, you know, did by far best of the horses that were ridden close to the pace on that occasion. Agroterra, who won the race under a typical Ascot Spencer ride, came from a long way back. Yeah. And she won well again at Kempton last time. So they're the pace angles. And to be honest, I think they'll go a good gallop here. And I think they could set the race up for Ullashaw Bridge. He's a horse that's been running really well this season for James Bethel. He just gets in here after being dropped a pound for his Doncaster run. I think he's certainly been inconvenienced on his last 2 starts on the Knavesmire at York and at Doncaster last time, particularly over 7 furlongs, by a lack of pace. They hadn't gone much of a gallop in those races, and both turned into a little bit of a dash for home, and that certainly inconvenienced Ullashaw Bridge. Prior to that, you know, he ran his probably one of the best races of the season when finishing 2nd to Crack On in a course and distance handicap off a mark of 89. So that form would see him go very close here, and I think he'll get the race run to suit. Obviously, he's 90 rated. It's the perfect fit for him. There'll be a really strong pace on, and I fancy him to come through and pick up the pieces late in the day.
So that's the thoughts of Craig in that 225 at Ascot then. Good classified race. And then we move on to the 335 at Ascot, which is the feature race on the day. It's a listed event. The Noel Merler Stakes over a mile and 3/4. We've got a field of 8 set to go to post for this. And we've got likely to see Ghostwatch towards the top end of the market. Form ties in with Mekong as well, Craig. Do you see it between that pair?
I think yes. Obviously, Austrian School has to be taken into consideration. You know, he's finished 2nd on 5 of his last 6 starts, but there's nothing wrong with his attitude. He just has a habit of bumping into one too good. And he proved last time at Doncaster, when just denied by Just In Time, that was his best run of the season. So he's steadily progressing, despite having a busy campaign, so he's one to consider. The one that steps down from group company is Savannah Star. Very, very impressive early season with wins at Windsor and Sandown, but they both came with a fair bit of juice in the ground, Mark. Disappointed under faster conditions and was due to run last week, I think it was, and was withdrawn on that occasion with a self-cert. I've no doubts about Savannah Star you know, getting home over a mile six as he steps up in distance. But obviously the faster ground would be of concern. And the two you said are progressive handicappers, mm-hmm. Ghost Watch, who of course won the Melrose, the staying event for three-year-olds at the York Ebor meeting, and Mekong, who was fourth on that occasion on the Knavesmire, but has subsequently bolted up at Haydock. I think the ground was key to that Haydock performance. He was ridden with a lot more restraint than he was at York as well. At York, you know, they made plenty use of him. He did far too much running on the front end, and he was a spent force at the finish. You know, fourth was a really good effort, considering how much running he did early. Ghost Watch was in the perfect position throughout. The two very progressive types, there's not a lot between them in terms of their ratings. I think, you know, Mekong is another one that might just prefer a little bit more juice in the ground. He's probably the one that's going to keep on improving more than Ghost Watch, but I think that improvement may come with or under softer conditions. I think Ghost Watch is definitely the one to be with here. He's also had one run since his win at York. That was at Ascot, over a mile and a half. He finished second to first 11. The two, you know, really pushed pace into the race at the furlong pole and came clear of the rivals. First 11 is a potential pattern class performer, so he lost nothing in defeat, finishing second. He continues to go the right way. I think stepping back up in distance over the extra couple of furlongs will be a positive for his chances as well. So I'd have to be with Ghost Watch here. Stall one wouldn't be ideal. I don't like horses drawn on the inside at Ascot. Hopefully William Buke can get him off that rail at an early stage, because on the wrong track, it's not a place you want to be.
No, but it is doable to overcome it. We saw that with Raheem House in the race last year. He came from stall one and managed to do it. So hopefully William Buick will be switched on there. So Ghost Watch, the pick for Craig in that 3:35. Of your two selections, Craig, which is the strongest opinion?
The strongest opinion would be Ulshaw Bridge, because I think there could be some value in the price.
All right, good stuff. Thank you very much. Good luck, Craig, and enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Friday's action. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Bobby Beavers, Gareth Topham and Andrew Mount in the studio. We've got this very good card at Ascot, accompanied by two jumps meetings, Fontwell and Hexham throughout the afternoon. And it's Wolverhampton and Dundalk throughout the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join the team for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.